Let us pray together. Lord Jesus in heaven, I confess, Lord, what an unworthy servant I am to preach your holy word. But Lord, your people are gathered here today and they need to hear the good news of your salvation. Lord, there are precious souls here today who need to hear the good news of the freedom and the life that you can give. So please, Lord, guide my words and please open their hearts and may the truth set them free to the glory of God. Amen. I wonder if you have ever met someone who suffers from Schuermann's kyphosis. It's a rare disorder of abnormal curvature of the spine. In the poor sufferer, the front of the spine grows more slowly than the back of the spine. And so over time, there's a growing pressure and pain at the back that pushes the person's head down and down. I have a friend in the United States who suffers from this horrible condition, and anyone who suffers from it obviously deserves a great deal of compassion. But perhaps the hardest thing, more than anything else, is that over time they cannot look up anymore. They can't look up at faces. They can't look up at the sky or the stars. I want you to try and hold that picture of someone with this kyphosis in your mind this morning, because it is my particular sadness as a pastor that I feel I see so many people, meet so many people who suffer from a kind of spiritual kyphosis. People who are so emotionally and spiritually burdened and pushed down, like there's an invisible weight on their soul. They get so pushed down that they're not able to look up anymore to God and to love and to joy and to freedom and to happiness. And in many people, it seems like this spiritual kyphosis has grown slowly over time so that they don't even know how pressed down they really are. And they don't know that they're not able to look up, and they don't know what they're missing out on and what God wants life to be. And life has become something of a slog, a heavy burden. Are you suffering from that kind of spiritual kyphosis? Do you feel like you're carrying a heavy weight on your shoulders and it's pushing you down and you don't even know what it is, and you don't know if you can ever be free of it? And do you long that you think life's meant to have more freedom and more joy than I've got? And if you're suffering from that kind of sadness or heaviness, and I want you to hear the good news of what Jesus says to you. What Jesus says to you. There is good news for anyone burdened like that. Jesus is the answer. And he's talking to you when he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And the cure you need for your burden this morning is actually to take on the yoke of Jesus. Put on his yoke. And strange though that might sound, I just want to try and explain what that means. How the answer for your burdens is to put on the yoke of Jesus. And how he can set you free. But of course, before we can hear the good news of how Jesus can set us free, we need to think for a moment about the burden. What does Jesus mean when he says being heavy laden and laboring? What is Jesus talking about? Or to help you, it's a way of saying, why do I feel like this? What's wrong with me? What is this burden or weight that I'm carrying around? The Bible is so helpful as a diagnostic tool. to help us know ourselves and what's in our souls. Well, of course, when Jesus talks about laboring and heavy laden, he means a spiritual burden, a spiritual weight. He says it's rest for your soul. Think working and weighed down. Now, Jesus, I think, is using a picture that everybody in his time would have seen frequently. If you had to carry anything heavy for any distance, you'd use an animal, a beast of burden. You'd load up your ox or your donkey, and that's what Jesus is picturing. And he's saying, can you picture a beast of burden so heavily loaded, its legs are shaking, its head is drooping, and it's so weighed down, it cannot take another step. But you see, behind it comes a cruel master, and he's got his whip, and he's saying, come on, you dumb beast, work harder. What's wrong with you? Jesus is saying, does your soul feel like that? That you're so overwhelmed, you can't carry on, but you're being forced to keep going. So what is it that can weigh down our souls like that? What's Jesus meaning? Well, if it's helpful, perhaps we can think of two kinds of yokes. There's a good yoke, which is Jesus's, which is light and easy, and there's a bad yoke. This is the one that's weighing us down. Now, of course, a yoke literally, it's an old piece of farm equipment. It's a heavy beam of wood or metal that rests on the animal's neck, and it can be used to direct it and to pull things and to steer it. But all the way through the Bible, a yoke like that is used to symbolize slavery. To put on a yoke is to be made a slave. And that's what you heard in Deuteronomy. God said if the people sinned and rejected him, then he would put a yoke on them of evil powers. Other nations, wicked nations, who would attack them and enslave them. And they would suffer many different pains. He mentioned the hunger, the loss of their crops, the loss of their homes. And it was all a punishment for their sin. Later on in the Bible, Jeremiah says the same thing, the same graphic image. Jeremiah 27:28. He tells a sinful people that God's going to put a yoke on them. A yoke of Babylon. And they were invaded and enslaved. So when the people hear Jesus speaking about laboring under a heavy weight, that's exactly what they're thinking of. The weight of punishment for sin, the pain it brings, and being enslaved to an evil power. So that's what Jesus is saying is the burden on our souls. The heavy weight of sin, its punishment, the pain it brings, and that it's like a power ruling over us. Or to put it another way, it's the weight of our guilt, it's the weight of our griefs, and it's really the weight of God himself. We all carry about with us regrets, sadness, guilt, the things we've done wrong, because we've all sinned against God and other people. And we all carry around with us griefs, the things that have gone wrong. It's all part of our collective punishment. We suffer the consequences of our own sin and of other people's sin. Families break apart. People steal. People commit violence. Think to what we looked at a little bit last week, way back in Genesis in chapter 1, when we first sinned and disaster fell on the world. How God spoke about thorns and thistles and the sweat of our face. Pain. That's all come about because of our sin and just the sorrows of life. People get sick, people die, people suffer, weigh us down. And then also, sin itself is a power over us. That's what Romans 6 was talking about, that sin is not just breaking a few rules, it is this incredible force. We don't do the good that we know we should do. And the wrong that we know we shouldn't do, we all do it. Because there's this impulse and this urge from deep within, and we bend towards what is wrong. And the harder we try to do what's right, the more miserable we get, because we find we're never quite good enough or what we know we should be. Because there's this power enslaving us and enslaving our wills. And so this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying there's this guilt, there's grief, And there's the weight of God. How do we get right with God? Is there some sacrifice to do? Is there some good thing to do? How far do you got to run in order to get right with God? But you might say, that's not me. I don't feel like I'm a slave. I don't feel like I've got a guilty conscience. I'm a pretty good person and I'm free to do what I want. I'm not guilty. I don't worry about God. Do you know, Jewish people in the time of Jesus came up to him and said exactly that. They said, we've never been in bondage. How can we be made free? And Jesus said to them and to you, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Friend, you're blinded by sin and you don't even know it. Your head is so pushed down by guilt and grief, you don't even know that there are stars above you, heavenly things, that you don't even begin to see. One of my favorite movies, and forgive me if I've mentioned this before, is The Mission, starring Robert De Niro. I think it's from the 70s. It's a beautiful film if you've never seen it. It's a fictional story, but set in events that really took place. And it's about a slave trader, a guy called Rodrigo. And it's in Brazil in the 1740s. And he spent his life capturing native people and making them slaves. And then in a fit of anger, he murders his own brother. And overwhelmed with guilt, he converts to being a Christian. And then he goes to serve as a missionary to the native peoples that he once hunted. So it's a great movie, but the scene that everybody remembers is that he's so weighed down by guilt, it's symbolized in a journey that he takes. He gets all his old armor, all his old weapons, and they're wrapped together in a huge net, and he ties them on his back, and he tries to climb up a mountain to these people, and he struggles inch by inch, being weighed down, and he keeps slipping back down into the mud because he's weighed down by this immense guilt. Do you see the kind of things that are weighing us down? Guilt and grief and God. So the good news. Jesus says to all, to everyone, weighed down like that, with regrets, with the past, with sin, he says, come to me. And that come to me is not a one-off thing. That is an open invitation. He's saying, come and come again and again and again. To come to Jesus and to be set free is not something you do just once when you become a Christian. It's a continual coming. And he continually invites us to come. And so this is the answer. He says, take my yoke upon you and find rest. But hang on. If a yoke is a symbol of being a slave, isn't that a bad thing? Jesus is saying we've got to become his slaves and he will be our master and we've got to submit to this. And you might be thinking, well, how on earth can that be the answer? Because doesn't that just make Christianity just another terrible burden? How can being a servant to Jesus set me free? Doesn't that just make Christianity another hassle or a weight? Well, what does Jesus mean? Well, principally, three things. If I could break his words apart into three things. It means submit to his rest, submit to his rule, and submit to his restrictions. So the first thing you've got to do if you're searching for that rest today is you've got to learn to submit to his rest. Rest for your soul. He means he will lift that heavy load off your back. He will lift off you that weight of sin and guilt and that power. He will take it away. Wouldn't that be a wonderful, glorious thing? To have that weight of all regrets just lifted off. And when he says rest, open that word up to the enormity of what Jesus really means. And you've got to go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible. And you remember the very beginning there was a day of rest. When God finished creation, there was a day when everything was working perfectly. Life was full and fruitful. God's presence was with us. It was paradise, is the word the Bible uses. And when Jesus says he's going to give you rest, that's what he means. He doesn't mean recreation or temporary respite or just renewal. He means rest in this biblical sense of he's going to set you so free and so heal you. He's going to bring you into the kingdom of God where it's all going to be that paradise again. Glorious thought. And he can do that because that heavy weight of sin he takes onto himself. That's what the cross was all about. That Christ comes as Savior. As Isaiah the prophet said, he said, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. God the Son became a man to take that load off your shoulders, to bear it himself. He loves you so much, he was willing to do it to make you happy. He promises this perfect and complete forgiveness and the cleansing of your conscience, it says in Hebrews. He will reconcile you to God. And you can be at absolute peace because justice is satisfied in him. And so you can be free. And you don't need to fear God in that slavish way. And he will also free you from the power of sin. Those bad habits and bad impulses and the wickedness that runs through your mind. Because he will send the Holy Spirit to live in you. And he will change you. He will give you a new heart. He will empower you. You'll be free in a way you've never known before. And that, of course, ultimately bring you to heaven, where you'll be free of all that's fallen in this world. But you, to take the yoke, you have to submit to this rest. It means it's not something you can work for. It's not something you're going to earn. It is a free gift of grace. That's the hard bit, because there's something hardwired within us that thinks we've got to earn this somehow or clean ourselves up. And the hard thing is to humble your pride and submit and say, only Christ can do this. Only Christ can take that weight away and only Christ can set me free. And you have to learn to submit. You can't do it by works of charity, being a better person or self-help or religion or rituals. Only Christ himself and you coming to him and saying, put your yoke on me. I submit to that rest. Again, forgive me if I've mentioned this before, but around 20 years ago, my best friend David and I went on a holiday to Malta. And we were out swimming in the sea one day. You know, beautiful skies, clear waters. You can see to the bottom. And we heard these cries for help from out at sea. So, being a lot younger and fitter, we swam out. And there was this French guy. And I don't know if he got cramp or he got too tight. And he was going under. And as you know, as people did, then he would come back up. And he was desperately struggling. So Dave and I thinking, oh, this is our great hero moment, you know, and we swam over. But as we tried to grab him, we couldn't communicate. He was just flailing around. We got kicked, we got hit, and he was so panicked. He kept fighting us off in his desperate attempts to save himself. And we had to wait until he got so tired, he just kind of gave up, and we grabbed him. And then he rested on us as we pulled him to shore. And then he was so embarrassed, he kind of like ran off. But I've often thought about that. That's exactly what we're like with Christ. We try so hard to save ourselves and improve ourselves. And what we don't realize what we're doing is we're actually fighting Christ off. And the way to be saved is to rest on him. To have faith. To trust that he's done it. He's borne the weight. He can save. Friend, if you are drowning under your heavy weights, stop fighting Jesus off. Submit to him. Let him in. Take his yoke. And if you're a Christian, you know, sometimes I think Christians suffer from what I call phantom limb syndrome or phantom weight syndrome. You know, when someone loses a limb, they can still, because of their nerves, get that strange feeling as if it's still there and it can cause them pain. Christian, your weight is gone. It has been dealt with at the cross. You are forgiven. And if you feel that phantom weight, that you feel like it's still there and it's dragging you down, your guilt, rest in Christ. He's done it. So this is the first thing you need to do if you're heavily burdened. Submit to Christ's rest. But it also, secondly, means submitting to his rule. He does call you to become his servant. He's a king. He's the king. God has raised him from the dead. He is Lord of the world. You will stand before him to give an account of your life. And if your sin is rebelling against God, then your cure is in submitting to him. To put his yoke on you means you will learn his commandments and you will live how he says. He has given us in scripture, and I think primarily in the Sermon on the Mount, the rule of life. So to be a Christian, to take the yoke and be set free, it's not a minor change to your life. It's not just coming to Jesus to be a little bit more religious or be a slightly nicer person. It is this life-altering devotion and commitment to Christ, of utter surrender to him. You will love him, you will worship and adore him as God in the flesh. You will obey him and honor him. And there is no salvation without putting on that yoke of a life of full obedience to him. Aha, you say. I knew it. Christianity is just another burden. Just some more rules to keep. Not so. What does he say? He says, my rule is light. My yoke is easy. He means all his commands are for your good. And in fact, the way to be really free and happy is in serving him and doing his law. And when you do them, you find his commandments are not burdensome, as the Bible says. They're a joy because they are good for us and they bring blessing to your life. And obedience can be hard, but it is always good. And it will end in your joy and praise. And if a Christian is carrying around a heavy burden and life is a real slog, almost always, it's because there's some commandment where you're not walking with the Lord. And he himself promises to help you. The Holy Spirit will write the law on your heart. He'll give you that power and encouragement from within. So for us in the 21st century, we pride ourselves on being free. Freedom is defined as the highest, best thing, and we've defined it as being allowed to do whatever we feel. That it's a right. It's an absolute truth. No one can tell me what to do. We should be free from stuffy old morals. Free to live in whatever kind of relationships we want. Free to do whatever we want with our lives. To satisfy our desires and our feelings. And anything that impinges on your personal absolute freedom is held to be bad and oppressive. But what has that kind of freedom brought us? As Paul said to the Romans, what fruit do you get from being a free like that? Does that bring happiness? Is it bringing happiness to our culture around us? Is it bringing peace or fulfillment? Or is it bringing chaos and disillusionment and despair? In the letter to Titus, the Bible talks about being enslaved to our own lusts. See, in our modern self-fulfillment culture, we've unleashed our desires. Nothing should hold them back. But in fact, you find those desires take over. And they ruin your life. Not all freedom is good. If you're in a zoo, you want the lions to be in the cage, not running around after you. And if we just let sinful lusts loose, they devour your life. They will take you over. You become a slave to loving all the wrong things. And so God's laws are a tremendous good to protect us. And they teach us how to truly live. The crisis for us today is people do not know how to live and how to be happy. The way is God's laws. If you want a simple picture, think as, you know how difficult and crazy it can be some weeks already, but imagine if in the jolly household there were no rules. I'll tell you what would happen. Theodore would have opened all the kitchen cupboards and would be smashing all the plates. Wesley would be trying to jump from our second story stairs and do some stunt. And Elizabeth would be drawing with crayons all over the world and probably trying to boil stuff on the stove. It would be madness. It would be dangerous. But a loving parent imposes his loving laws so life can flourish. And so taking the yoke of Christ and fully submitting and keeping his wonderful laws is how to be free. But then there's one more thing it means to submit and put on his yoke. Is you must learn to submit to his restrictions. Now, this is a very important part of the rest that Christ can give you, that as Christians we particularly need to learn. Your Lord will impose restrictions on you at certain times, because he knows what is truly good for you. He will say no to some of the things that you desire and want and some of your ambitions. He'll close some doors, some opportunities. He will make life go in a way you did not expect. He may impose some painful limits on you. Illnesses, crosses, difficulties, lack of money, setbacks, trials. But those impositions will come. They will come. So that you will learn to rely on him and to trust him and to keep you from wandering off into sin. And he will teach you through them how to say, not my will be done, but yours. And the ultimate goal is that through them he's teaching you how to love, how to really love other people, how to put yourself to death and forget yourself and to care for others and be compassionate and to love others. He may set providential limits on you. He will set you in a certain place and time and give you a specific calling, a specific work and family and neighbours. He will say to you, settle down, serve others, do humble things. When you will long to run free and have no responsibilities and to indulge yourself. Again, the 21st century lifestyle is wander free, commit to nothing. Christ will restrict you. He wants you to be fixed in a place and with responsibilities. Your family, your church, your calling. And in one sense, it will make it seem like he's going to restrict your life. It'll get smaller and smaller and smaller. But actually, again, that's where true life and freedom is going to flourish. He will use that to make you truly good and humble and holy. These will be chains of love. But many Christians rebel against this, and the rest for your soul will come in learning to submit to whatever crosses and responsibilities he gives you. He will carry them with you by your side. But the rest will come not in trying to throw off those crosses, but in submitting to them. Trust him. Picture it like this. He will set bounds around you to make you like a walled garden. And within that garden, protected by high walls, life will grow and be beautiful. Learn to submit even to the restrictions that Christ may put into your life. And he promises ultimately a great reward for submitting. A reward in heaven that will far exceed any price you pay. Didn't Paul say, our light and momentary affliction is preparing us for an exceeding weight of glory? Do you want to be free? Do you want to have that burden lifted? Here's the way. Submit to Christ, to his rest, to his rules, to his restrictions. But you also need to hear the great encouragement that Christ gives you to come and do this. Christ describes himself to us. I think this is the most astonishing statement in the Bible. He reveals his own heart and character to us. Now, this is astonishing. This is Almighty God, the Savior, and he's condescending, he's stooping so low to try to persuade us as his creatures to come to him. And what does he say? He says he's not a lord to bully us, or dominate us, or control us, or use us and abuse us. He's not a dictator, or a tyrant, or a king who's going to make you miserable and selfishly take from you. He's pure of heart. He is humble and meek. Which means he sympathizes with you. He's patient with you. That he has compassion. That he will bear with all your faults. He knows how difficult it is. It means he is kind and approachable. Because he's shared in all that you suffer. He's our Lord above us. But he chooses to act as a friend. To walk by our side, not seeking his own good, but as a servant suffering for us. If you picture again that yoke upon an animal, almost always in the time of Jesus, It would be a double yoke. It would be two animals harnessed together. Can we dare to say that Christ is saying, friend, I'll come alongside you. I'll bear the yoke with you. I'll carry the weight of your sin. I'll walk with you. I promise I'll be with you every step of the way. Wouldn't you gladly serve a king like that? If I can give you one last beautiful picture. You know the novel Les Miserables. The hero, Jean Valjean, is sometimes portrayed in a Christ-like way. And early on in the novel, a poor man is trapped under the crushing weight of a cart that has crashed. And it's slowly sinking down into the mud and killing him. And so Jean Valjean gathers men and they try to lift it off him. But there's so much mud, they just keep slipping and they cannot do it. And the only way to rescue him is someone's got to get under the cart, putting themselves in danger, and to lift it up from there. And so Valjean, risking his life, he gets down in the mud. And he crawls under the cart next to the man. And on his own back, he helps lift it off. And he's pulled out and saved. Now, isn't that what Christ has done for you? Hasn't he come down to the very pit, to the cross, to carry your sin? A king who was willing to carry the cross for you is a king worth carrying a yoke for. The way to have real rest and peace for your soul is to come to Christ and to carry that yoke. Serve him as your Lord. Jesus is the answer. Don't carry your burden anymore, your burden of sin. Come to Christ and let him carry it, and he will give you rest. Let us pray. Our loving Father in heaven, we thank you for our mighty Saviour, Jesus Christ, that he has borne the weight of our sins to set us free, and that he still is willing to carry us every day of our lives. Oh Lord, we pray that you would help any of us who are resisting here this morning, any who are troubled and burdened. Oh Lord, give us the faith to give it all to Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that you would take and put his yoke upon us, and that you would teach us, Lord, that true freedom comes in serving him. Lord, we come to you. We cast our burdens upon you. And we thank you, Lord, for saving us. And we pray, Lord, that your gift of rest would fill our hearts and lives now and unto eternity. Amen.